like, babe is really never a term that I've ever considered myself, but sure, why not? And billionaires, I'm not generally into. Like, I have quick research on a couple that I find very intriguing.
Because when you hear the word billionaire, most of the country is like, they're all evil, horrible people. And, you know, on some level they are, but they have all the money and all of us down here don't have the money anymore. So how do I tap back? You want to
bridge a connection.
Okay. When you are a billionaire, there is a reason why you are a billionaire. You're always focused on the people and things that will make you more billions. Ken Griffin was the big billionaire in Illinois that was always in the news, and he left Illinois. After 30 years, he moved to Florida, which is Palm Beach. Was that the area where you were? No.
He was born there. He grew up there in Boca Raton, I should say, in Florida. No, I wasn't in the Boca Raton area.
After 30 years in Illinois, I mean, he's smart. He's a billionaire. He's a businessman.
He also inherited an oil business, too.
Oh, he did. So he had his grandma. Yeah. So he didn't entirely build it himself.
From scratch. Right. Correct. He didn't start from scratch. Yeah.
Smart to leave Illinois because business people are like, you have to be able to make a profit. And if you keep making it difficult for people to make a profit, they will go somewhere else eventually. Tennessee or South Carolina, you're going to leave Illinois.
But, you know, as someone who just formerly lived in Florida and there's no state income tax, and that's why a lot of people move there. Yeah. The schools suffered. Catch 22. Yeah, it's cheap to live here, but you get what you pay for.
But if he's older and doesn't have to worry about that now, when he left Illinois, though, on the way out, he dumped a bunch of money into Chicago schools on the way out.
Good.
Hopefully they utilize that money wisely. But who's to say? So the reason, the final straw for him when he said, I'm out of Illinois, it was because a friend of his had a gun held to his head.
Oh, wow.
We can't even walk around Chicago without having a friend
refuse to visit me in Florida because it's a stand your ground state. The thing that I thought was really interesting about Griffin, he went to Harvard and he got in trouble. There was a ban on running businesses on campus, but he actually convinced the administrators to let him do it, to install like a satellite dish, which I think is indicative of people who just kind of are like, rules? What rules? Let's do it. Push the envelope if you can and see what you can get done. Like, don't let anybody tell you no, right? Like, I guess that's why he is where he is.
That would make a lot of sense. Now, his new estate in Palm Beach is already pissing off his neighbors. They're upset because it's so big, I guess. Oh, wow. And they're like, well, we can't have that monstrous house in this.
Anybody's glad to have a house standing there right now.
in Florida. Yeah.
Right.
And he bought a copy of the Constitution.
So he's like a real art collector.
Yes,
like a real art collector, which I found fascinating because he's got some really great pieces of art from.
And then I was looking, does he own Citadel? Did that used to be Cumulus?
So it's a hedge fund. And I don't know if it's the same broadcasting arm, but I don't know if it comes from the same group of people. But I did go look at his executive board page, all the people that make Citadel happen, the big wigs. And there's one woman in the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. One woman, and it's a pretty male dominated industry anyway, I'm sure.
Right.
But it would, maybe he could look at into a few more qualified women.
Yeah, that would be great. How it works in the podcasting industry in California for these celebrity podcasts. Apparently, it's just like the movies. You have to sleep your way into a job. So I had applied for a producer
gig.
Sleep
with Joanne, who'd you sleep with?
Well, I didn't, but I'm actually really upset right now because in 2021, first of all, Conan O'Brien's like a whole thing for me.
Yeah.
And
I know.
Every piece of advice that I've ever taken from him has ruined my life. I can't take advice from him. Please try. But I did try and you stole my idea. So I've been watching him flailing for, I don't know, 5, 6 years. And just the television show alone was driving me nuts. So I applied over there. They ignored me. That's fine. And then the podcast. Okay. I'm going to apply over there to Team Coco because podcast industry is getting flooded.
Yeah.
And especially with celebrities. And
I'm seeing
him suffer and the quality is going down. And I personally, I think he's better than that. Now, he probably hates me, which is fine because I'm starting to hate him. I'm trying not to. It's like I'm trying to keep it into perspective. But anyway, I applied over there for a producer job. Of course, I was ignored. But in my producer cover letter, because I'm one of those suckers who's actually paying attention to what he's saying. unaware that he doesn't pay attention to what he says. So Conan is now doing Sirius XM, which is John, I want to say Malone. He is the Liberty Media guy. So Liberty Media, if I'm correct, it dabbles in everything. It funds Sirius XM, but then it has these other projects as well. I can't be certain, but I feel like Candace Owens is also part of that. But this is how these media guys are, is they make sure that they've got something conservative and liberal and in the middle and this. But anyway, I submitted a cover letter, and in my cover letter offered ideas, right? Because you have to give them reasons to hire you. Well, one of my ideas was, knowing that Conan loves history, if anything, do history podcasts instead of he's doing, I need things, I'm needy, I need things. I can't stand the whole needy aspect of his marketing campaign, because first of all, he doesn't. Guys with houses on the beach in Montecito don't need things. Those are not needs. You want to have fans. You don't need them. So it gets very annoying. And he does this, I'm a needy dork thing. And I think he's better than that. So it bothers me. But anyway, one of my things was a history podcast, but in my head, it was less about podcasts to have commercials. It's about making podcasts or podcast shorts about history to sell to the Department of Education.
Right. He'd be great. Yeah. He'd be great for the kiddos for sure.
Right. To add to the curriculum. It appeals to a younger demographic who then goes, oh, I know that guy. He did that thing in my history class. He had a little bit of comedy to the history. So I add this in my cover letter. They completely
ignore me. Don't tell me he started
me.
Doing it.
Of course he did. And he, but what he did.
That's funny.
But he's using.
Shout out to Joanne Jeanette.
Right. But I'm not getting paid. So, but he's using sexual nepotism. And his wife is in this trade magazine. She hasn't worked in 20 years. So you're ignoring qualified applicants who have over 25 years experience in media, audio, radio, podcast, media, audio. And you're giving the opportunity to your wife who sleeps with you, and she's doing a podcast about significant others, the what, which is very patriarchy. But the wives.
But if my husband's given out podcasting gigs and I want one, I'm assuming I would come first, probably.
And then in the press release, it was knowing Conan's history of knowing Conan's love for history. I'm like, that's exactly. She like essentially took the words that I used from my cover letter.
Well, congratulations on having a great idea, though.
No, it's not okay, because I'm not getting paid.
Yeah.
So I'm
still
tired
congratulations
of my great
on
idea.
A good
I'm very tired of the thank you. But bro-propriating is my life. I come up with a great idea. Some man steals it, and then he gets all the credit, gets the fame. And I'm sitting over here broke with missing teeth in the back of my head.
Oh,
it's like,
no,
I don't think so.
Say that.
So this has happened time and time again. I can give you numerous examples over at Cumulus, over at Alpha Media, over here. It's like, no, that's a stupid idea. And then I leave the company, and then they start implementing my idea, and it works. And so that makes me angry, and I'm tired of this in my life. So now I'm starting to become a BITCH. Well, kind of. I'm getting a little angry. So anyway, his wife's doing some history podcasts, and then in the press release, see, this is the funny thing. I've already figured out Conan O'Brien is someone very easily manipulated with flattery, but that's dangerous. So I figured out how I could take advantage of him a long time ago, but I don't operate that way. So I was like, I'm not even going to go that route. Now I'm competing with him.
Do you think so?
No, because he's way out of my league. He has opportunities that will never be, I'll never get.
I don't think that's true. I think that you, okay.
So originally I wanted to marry him. That didn't
exposure.
Work.
I think
then I wanted to be a version of him, and that didn't work. So I was like, okay, screw all of this. I'm just going to go work for him. You know,
and then that didn't work.
And
still.
That didn't work out either. But he stole my idea, or his wife did.
Which
and then she
cool.
write and she write in the press release, knowing it, like she used my wording, which then, of course, that really aggravated me. And then she wrote, this is the funniest thing. She goes, I could never do.
You crack me up.
This is where she's flattering him, but it's insincere. I could never do 99.9% of what Conan does. And I'm like, really, lady? How inept are you? He presses a button. He presses record and he talks into a microphone. If you're that inept.
I love the voice that you give her.
It's then that aggravated. So he triggers me in every direction.
Oh,
I can't. I check up on him like every 3 months or so, but I can't stand it. I can't stand the podcast. It's better than what he's doing.
I feel like it needs to be a movie. Joanne Conan story.
Then it seems like I'm not obsessed, but it was like he was my inspiration. Then he squashed me. Aww. Then he ignored me. Like just all
that sounds like radio. My relationship with radio in
exactly,
general.
Exactly. Right. So you were talking about Citadel, and then I was talking about Cumulus. It's been enough years now that I can talk about when I was working at Cumulus, and I was doing the job like 3-4 people.
I worked at Cumulus too and did the job of 3-4 people as well in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Sure did.
You know it, sister. And
sure did.
I'm in a building in a radio studio on State Street. Mm-hmm. And we've got the ABC television, WLS television station downstairs where they're doing news. I'm sitting on a chair that had a broken wheel leg that they kept duct taping. That's how bad.
That sounds about right.
I was like, I don't have a huge ego, but
these carts still work. What's the problem?
May I have a chair that doesn't teeter totter and flip over while I'm doing live reports on the air? And then, you know, when I worked there is when my stepdaughter died, and I'm working with a bunch of male egomaniacs that have no empathy or compassion, nor do many of them have children. So they have no understanding of, do you know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, you'll get over it. I'm like,
one of my best male bosses and one of my worst male boss. Favorite male co-host came out of Kalamazoo, but one of my worst male bosses came out of Kalamazoo as well.
Did he? I'm so sorry. And then they recirculate these guys.
Well, of course.
Why do you keep hiring these incompetent boobs that, first of all,
still working?
Exactly. They have no emotional intelligence. I don't even know if they have business sense.
Like, well, they know what buttons to push, and they know what buttons to push, and they know who to satisfy and consistently satisfy. And so they've done that for so many years. And let's face it, at the time when you and I, or at least when I was working in radio, 95% of it was male. At this point, it's probably closer to like 90. But with the target demographic being 25 to 54 women, and that being the money making demographic and not putting women in those positions, it's just silly. I don't get it. But hey, you know, they're running the show. What do I know?
I can't tell you how many I didn't have arguments. It was like I would have these male PDs that go, I need more women listeners.
I know.
And I'm like, then play something that women like. No, that can't be the answer. It's like, what? That is the answer. Like, try to figure out what the audience likes and cater to the audience.
You brought up some other people. Do you care if I jump into that Robin Karen Hale thing?
You go ahead.
The Robin Karen Hale thing is, to me, what winning the lottery should and would be for me. They are the billionaires that are, they're Bostonians. They're donating $1 million each week to different nonprofits. And they are part owner of the Celtics, and they've got a telecommunications company. Every time I think of winning the lottery, the first thing I think of is, not only will I be able to do this, this, and this, but think about how many people I'll be able to help. They're choosing nonprofits that don't have reserves. They're choosing nonprofits that took big hits during the pandemic. So
that's a great idea.
I mean, it's a great idea. Yeah, but they're not. Then the Patagonia family, they gave away their fortune to charity. Cool. Great. When I think about people playing the game and then people not playing the game the way it's supposed to be played, quote unquote, nice to see people kind of breaking away. Like, we don't need to hoard all this money. We can do stuff with it.
The Hales, what would be your nonprofit?
Oh, wow. The feeding children. Anything with feeding children.
With children. Mine would
anything with feeding them, yeah. Because I feel like hungry kids is a sin.
For mine, it would be job placement. For me, it's about sending an organization for placing people into jobs. That would be the design that I would have. So instead of having more schooling, you would have the training within the nonprofit. When I first moved to California, I was interested somewhat into transitioning into hospitality. Luckily, the area of Santa Clarita had an intro course to hospitality that would get you at least the food license, because you have to handle food. Okay. And I thought I got my food license. I think I have to renew it. It takes people and it sets them in to training for a job to be able to be hired right away.
Right.
Because what is the one way that you lift people's spirits is you give them a purpose.
Right.
Right.
But I also feel like there is this poisonous culture of college and this society that was created of, you must get a college degree. So if the higher you go in college, the better job you will get. And like, they sold us this bill of goods that the more education we dumped our money into and the bigger loans we took out, that we would ultimately receive the benefits of that. And I so wish, like, the money that my family and that I spent on my master's degree, for example,
right?
Like,
and you got
that money
could have graphic arts.
Okay. Digital arts, right? So digital arts masters, great, great and wonderful and fantastic. But really, coming out of it, it really just felt like I made a donation to the school. I'm not saying they didn't give me useful tools, but I much now, hindsight 2020, that money should have been spent on some kind of certification. I could have gotten millions of certifications for, well, not millions, but at least 100 certifications for the amount of money that I spent.
Exactly. And if,
right now, certifications are kind of everything. I don't understand why we dump all this money into education and make people feel like they have to dump all this money into education when really just giving people like a livable skill, a skill that will help them live, is all we really need to start at. Why put people in the hole right off the bat? What for? For what?
Right.
To prove what? To who? Who right. do I need to show that I have a master's degree in digital arts? Who do I need to show that to? Good for you. Can I fix a car? Nope. Can I do my own plumbing? Nope. Got to call someone. To me, value, 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 value in skills.
See, I skipped the 4-year degree and I went to the trade school for media.
And?
Well, I've worked in it for 25, 30 years.
See, and that's good. When I started in radio, that was one of the things that people, because Specs was a big thing, and Specs Howard, and people would say, you know, getting an internship working in the radio station is going to give you skills that, you know, you're not going to get at a school. And that was
what I sunk
my teeth into. Yeah.
Right. I would take every overnight shift that nobody wanted on the weekends.
Yep.
I interned
5 a.m. on Sundays.
Whenever. So this is another reason why these celebrity podcasts really burn my butt.
I know.
It's like,
they
come
didn't
on.
Pay their dues. They didn't cut their teeth.
No, they did not.
But they don't need to. In the digital world, exactly. Nobody needs to cut their teeth. You can talk about the stuff that you pull out of your teeth and say, this is a podcast about the stuff I pull out of my teeth.
That's a great idea. What was your weirdest job?
Oh, girl. In radio?
No, just weirdest
or just
job
generally.
In your life.
In high school, I was working in my dad's office. He's a physician. And at one point, I think he wanted me to get outside experience. So he let me work for one of his patients' businesses. And she sold lace. I learned a lot about lace. And I sold lace to old ladies in Wyandotte, Michigan.
I was a phlebotomist for a while, but then I ran a
How was that?
It was fine. So back to the schooling that you were talking about a couple of years ago, I thought, well, maybe I'll go back to phlebotomy. You have to go for like 6 months to 8 months and pay like $30,000 to get the same certification that I got in 3 days. I paid $50, 3 days. They taught you how to find a vein, how to draw blood. Boom. There you go. I was on my way. Now you have to go through 6 to 8 months and it costs $30,000 to make the same $11 an hour or whatever.
I get
it's like
that.
The pay hasn't even increased for the job of maybe it's like $17 or something an hour, but that's pretty much what it was paying back then.
It's the same. Considering inflation, it's the same. And
it's
honestly, I was floored. You know, we've just recently moved to California and obviously Sun School in the first 3 weeks, two teachers left because they went and got better gigs at another school within the first 2 weeks. So I was kind of like, whoa, that's weird. So there's a teacher shortage, huh? So I went online and did some research about their guest teacher position. And so then I called the district and talked to them about what it would take to become a guest teacher. The amount of hoops that they want people to jump through to be a guest teacher, like a substitute teacher. God bless you. I you know, that's cool if there's people willing to do all that to be a substitute with no benefits, etc. But I think I'm going to try and pay attention to some other things right now. Cause I was like, what is that?
Right. You're blocking qualified people, but yet incompetent people seem to find their way in.
Amen.
To every industry.
Amen.
And go like, what?
Huh?
I don't understand that. The other weird job I had, and I just took it at the weekends. This was, I want to say 2016, 2017. Took a job as a carousel operator at the mall at St. Charles. I guess the carousel is now gone, but it was
in the start your love for amusement parks and rides?
No, I've always had a love for, I'm a carny in my soul.
I love
it. You give me juggling, you give me confetti, you give me people on stilts and I'm like, yay. It said help wanted. And I knew I wasn't going to do it for very long, but I did it for, I don't know, 4 or 5 weekends.
I love it.
It was all weekend, so I couldn't spend time with my kids. So after about 4 or 5 weekends, I kind of had enough. But I ran the entire thing, the money, and you had to get these tokens. And then these kids would try to run and jump onto the carousel and I'd have to stop them. I remember my last time I ran it, you want to shut it down and close it. People have to go and they're leaving the mall. I just let kids jump on. I go, go, get on there, get on there. This last time I'm running it.
You were
go.
The cool one.
So I made half the people pay. And then I was like, look, it's the last one I'm ever, just go, just go.
jobs. I've had some crazy. I mean, radio was probably had the most variety within an industry.
You're working with the craziest people.
Yeah. It was adult daycare, really. And I mean, I worked the drive through at Wendy's for a while.
Awesome.
I called around. I was a secret shopper for hotels for a while.
Very cool.
Teaching the kiddos music. That was the most recent. And then real estate. There's always real estate's been a part of my life for a long time. Wendy's went downhill, though, by the way, when the owner, Dave Thomas, when he died.
Did it really?
I'm convinced that's when their late night menu opened up and that's when their value menu came up because he was like a big quality buff. I don't think he would have thought highly of that. You usually ask me about stocks and I don't usually have good answers for you. But today I did a little quick research and I wanted to mention a trend that I'm noticing up. This is from the CNN business page and this is updated as of 4:39 this afternoon. Movers, they're calling these companies movers. Carnival, Norwegian Cruise Lines, and then they're talking about these people being the gainers. Again, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian Cruise Lines. I, as just an observation, think that it's interesting to see the tourist / cruise industry make a comeback. I have been on cruises and I am now never wanting to go on one again because it's kind of creeping me out, the concept of them. Yeah.
Why?
So that was my observation. I don't know how I ever enjoyed being in the ocean in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of strangers and just cool with it. It's a giant petri dish and it is. But they are fun and you do feel like you're in a different world. But the way that weather has been lately, and I'm kind of like river cruises. I think if I have to do another one, I'll do a river cruise where I can see land on both sides or one side or something.
I like all the fresh fruit that you just get. They just put out more fruit than anybody could ever possibly
eat. This
and
is
I
true.
Love that.
This
so
is
that's
true.
My favorite part of a cruise. The two times I went on a cruise, I went with my father.
Okay.
We had to share a bathroom and a gigantic bed in a tiny little room. My father was 6'5". He's a very big man.
Yeah.
So that was a little strange. Yeah, it was a little tight quarters for the two of us. But I enjoyed the cruises. We went.
But living
to
in
Bahamas.
Living in Florida, we thought for sure we'd take advantage of cruises more.
And you didn't.
We didn't, and because the ports were right there where we were. But the industry, you could feel how the industry got hit. You could feel it. Anybody you knew that was in the travel industry was really like, oh my God, the cruises. Ford Motor Company is back on the movers list too, which
that
is
that was
kind
one
of cool.
I picked a couple of weeks ago.
Go
so
Detroit.
There we go.
The Mustang electric car is amazing. And I've never in a million years thought I would want a Mustang because I grew up in the Detroit area and drove Hondas. But the new Mustang electric car looks sweet. Sweet.
Any crypto?
I'm so Gen X about it, right?
I haven't paid attention in a while. In fact, I sold some of my Ethereum too, but they put it in a hold and it's been on hold for like 2 years. And there were some times I was pretty much down like my last 10 bucks going, I really want to get that money out of there. So they hold it for a while and then I don't know. Then it goes public. I don't know exactly, but I got into Ethereum too, not one, really early on and it's been sitting in there, but it hasn't really done anything.
Correct.
I want to start some celebrity gossip. This is the one that I'm trying to spin, is that I saw Paul McCartney shopping at TJ Maxx.
Oh, how's Paul at TJ Maxx? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think he's as wealthy as everyone claims.
So,
but I didn't go up to him and ask him. When I was standing next to Kurt Russell, it was on Sunset. This is like last year or something. I was on the way to the beach. There is a gas station on Sunset Boulevard. I think it's a Shell.
Okay.
And I'm pumping my gas. I look over and next to me at the pump is Kurt Russell. I was like, hey, this is the thought process. Oh, wow. There's Kurt Russell. I know him from the TV. He's married to Goldie Hawn, who I also know from the TV. I share a birthday with Goldie Hawn. But then so do lots of people. November 21st. The minute I said,
oh, she's a Scorpio. Scorpio.
She is, right. It's the last day, though. So it's Scorpio Sag. So she and I are on the last day. So we're not entirely Scorpionic. If that's
You're fiery and creative.
There you go. When I thought of Goldie Hawn, all I could think of, and see if you can name this movie.
Overboard.
No, but I love that one. And her name is Joanna in that.
Yeah,
but
I love that movie.
I'm going to sing this little ditty.
Okay.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. Football. It's the sport of kings.
What movie is that?
And diamond rings. Football.
I don't know.
It's an 80s movie with Goldie Hawn. Played on cable
Overboard.
On HBO and Showtime like a million
and
times.
And First Wives Club. All I've got is First Wives Club and Overboard. What else does she have? Oh, the Army
after
movie
Private Benjamin.
What is it?
It's a football movie.
Wait, why is the... Okay, I know this now. It is... I can, like, picture her with those little... Who is she cheering for? But she played football in that movie, didn't she?
She was the coach.
Yeah.
It's called Wildcats.
Thank you. And now, see, now I feel dumb. Yeah, I remember Wildcats. And but so I don't remember it.
I said nothing to Kurt Russell. I just jumped in my car and continued on to the beat.
Oh, and that, and then there was the Santa Claus movie they were both in that was really good.
Oh, I don't know that one.
One and two, which was really good.
On Roku, I was just in Chicago, but I spent most of it up in McHenry by Wonder Lake.
Okay.
So my godmother has been ill. So a lot of time sitting around sort of watching TV and hanging out. I found old Price is Right episodes. I also found an entire channel dedicated to Johnny Carson episodes. The
Your
full episodes.
Your favorite. My Mrs. favorite. Joanne Carson.
It is so funny when you watch the full episodes. I watched like a whole slew of episodes from 1982. The jokes are terrible. The boom mic is constantly being lowered into the shot. What we accepted for television back then, the power that Johnny Carson had when it was so poorly put together.
It was like amazing.
The monologue jokes are just terrible.
Although sometimes there's part of me that cringes at being a fly on the wall at some of the things that happened, but that's just part of life.
Right.
P.S. If the Van Gogh Experience comes near you, go to it.
Okay.
We went. It was amazing.
It is and here, then, but it's like $60 a person.
Well, see if you can find a deal because it is worth it. Even if you just go yourself for an afternoon, go. Because it's beyond worth it. And I'm job searching, so wish me luck on that. And
me
then
too.
Be Diwali. It is the Indian Festival of Light. So we celebrate light over darkness, good over evil. And then we celebrate the Halloween because it's kind of right around the same time. So happy Halloween. So good over bad, light over dark.
And I saw Paul McCartney in a TJ Maxx.
And you saw Paul McCartney in a TJ Maxx.